The word today is love. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Peter denied Jesus three times, but later Jesus reinstated him, and he did it three times. No doubt Peter got the point. Here to review this encounter between Jesus and Peter is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Love.
During the Passion of Jesus, we remember the times that Peter came to Jesus and said, "You know, Jesus, I'm not so sure about these other disciples. After all, when things get really tough, they may forsake you, but I want you to know, Jesus, that I will never leave you. You really can count on me. I will never deny you." Well, you know how it happens that pride comes before the fall, just like in this case. Peter was so sure of himself and confident of himself that he was indicating he would be able to withstand anything. And of course we know from the Passion of Christ, the account as we read here in the last chapters of John, how Peter not only denied Jesus once and not only twice, but three different times. He said, "I don't know him. I'm certainly not one of his disciples. In fact, I don't even know who he is." And those denials were very bitter on Peter's heart later when he realized that he had betrayed Jesus. So now after the resurrection, as you read through to the completion of the end of the Gospel of John, in the 21st chapter, toward the very end of the Gospel, you will see an incident where Jesus is eating fish with his disciples, and they had the meal, and Jesus at the end of the meal says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you truly love me more than these?" Now, there's been a little discussion among different commentators as to what is meant by the question, "Do you love me more than these?" Some commentators point out that it was probably a reference to the other disciples that were no doubt standing around or within visible distance of seeing them. And I suppose that's a real possibility, although I don't like that interpretation too well. I would just as soon imagine Jesus standing on the shore here, looking out toward the Sea of Galilee, and perhaps the boat is there, perhaps the other disciples are there, and who knows, there may have been family members around. You could probably see the community from there. I can see Jesus standing and just taking his arm and just sweeping the countryside with his arms, so to speak. In other words, when he's talking to Peter, he could have been moving his arm past the ship, past the sea, past the disciples, past the neighborhood on one side. You know, I can just imagine him saying, "Do you love me more than these? More than anything, Peter? Do you put me first in top priority in your heart?" Now, Peter immediately answers, and you know, some commentators have pointed out that there are several different words in the Greek language that we translate love. Some of these words are words that you can express love for in something, let's say, like a house or like a horse or, you know, some object that you could say, "Yes, I really do love that thing." And on the other hand, there are words that get very refined and very, very direct and mean spiritual love, love of the very highest nature. And so it could be that these different Greek words were in play here also, and that Jesus was asking him, you know, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered, "Yes, you know, I love you," in the same general type of word that says, "I love my family," or "I love my life," or "I love my job," and that Jesus was asking him again to get him to do a little more serious thinking, a little more of a deeper response, a little more meaningful. "Yes, I love you above everything." You know, it could be that this is what's going on here in this conversation and why it was asked three times, although quite frankly, I think the simplest interpretation and the easiest one, and certainly I think the clearest one, is that Jesus here is reinstating Peter. And because he knew Peter had denied him three times, and that must have been constantly on the mind of Peter, Jesus now gives him three separate occasions, three separate times, to say, Lord, you know I love you. And I believe this no doubt meant a great deal to Peter that it happened three times, and he no doubt saw the connection between that and his three denials. So it doesn't matter. You probably don't want to make too much of it, but I just thought I'd share with you some of those views there about this particular occasion. Now, in each case, when Peter says, you know I love you, Jesus answers him twice about feeding the sheep and feeding the lambs. Now, we know that's a reference to speaking the word of God and filling in the details for people so that they know what the message is from God the Father in heaven. Jesus was here on earth primarily to tell us the will of his Father and to suffer and die on the cross so that we could have forgiveness. And so he's telling Peter, commissioning Peter, so to speak, go out and feed the followers that I have, referring to them as sheep and lambs, referring to the little children. Now, in the middle question, Jesus comes back with an answer, guard my sheep, or tend my sheep. Some translations refer to it as tending the flock. In other words, protect the flock. Take care of the flock. Make sure if there is a wild animal nearby, using that illustration of the helpless sheep, make sure that you protect them against the wild animals. For this same reason, shepherds would build a fire, usually in a circle around the entire area, and light that fire to keep the wild animals away during the nighttime as the embers and the twigs and so on would be burning. The wild animals would approach and then realize the danger and then back up. So I have used that illustration when my children were younger and in their teenage years or when they were traveling, and I would say to them, you know, may God build a wall of fire around you and protect you and keep you in his care so that no harm comes near you. I think it's a beautiful illustration of how God protects and cares for his people. Now he's telling Peter, you should do this. You should tend the flock. You should protect them. Guard them when a false prophet comes in the area. Make sure that you're there, that you can explain the errors and that you can fill in the things that need to be filled in, and just plain take care of the people of God. Well, we know that this is a primary job for every Christian. We are to be motivated to love God, to fellowship with other Christians, and to care for one another. And this doesn't only mean pray for one another. It means to actually help one another. If you see something going wrong and you know that you could step in and help, that's what we're supposed to do, to tend the flock. Now, what a fantastic reinstatement this is for Peter. You know, you can look at this entire gospel. We've been talking about the Gospel of John here. There are many excellent examples here. I'm sure some people would like to follow the example of someone like John himself. You know, John was a very intelligent person. And if you read this gospel, I'm sure you're going to see immediately the quality of his thought as God inspires him to write down these happenings and these incidents for the remembrance of what's going on and the teaching so that we would have it now. It's a marvelous blessing to have these Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John so that we can know the life of Christ and know the accuracy of these things that he taught us. So maybe you would love to follow in the footsteps of someone like John. That would be marvelous to be a teacher, to be a speaker, to be somebody that writes well and writes about God. You know, it could be just a marvelous thing to pursue following someone like the disciple John. Now, others, I'm sure, would say, well, I enjoy reading about St. Paul and his conversion. And throughout the Bible, we see Paul, he is one of the major writers of the New Testament. He wrote all the letters to the different churches that he had started there in Asia Minor. And so perhaps some of us would like to say, well, I wouldn't mind following in the footsteps of St. Paul. I like to travel, I'd like to speak, I'd like to do what he's doing, organize the churches and so on. You can pick almost any disciple and choose to follow him and have a good example that you can work off of. But I'd like to suggest just for today, why don't we follow Peter? Peter here is going to tend the flock. He is going to feed the sheep. That's something every single one of us can do as we teach our grandchildren, as we teach our family members, as we share with the people we work with, and as we communicate with anyone who will listen to us about Jesus Christ. And not only just to bring them to faith, not only to help them see Jesus as their personal Savior, but to also realize that once they're in the kingdom of God, they need encouragement. They need some additional teaching. They need some additional help. And certainly the fellowship that's supposed to be present in the Christian church is an excellent example for this. And there isn't a one of us that cannot follow the example of St. Peter here. As Jesus reinstated him, so to speak, as a servant in the kingdom of God. It's my prayer that God will cause us to want to follow Peter, not only in saying how much we love God, not only saying over and over again with deep sincerity, we love you, Jesus, more than anything. You're our top priority, but that you will also be ready to go to feed the sheep and the lambs of the kingdom of God and also tend the flock.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.